With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for light snow today with a temp dropping to about 13. Tonight clear with a low of 5 below. Friday sunny with a high around 12. And Saturday partly sunny with a high around 19. If you're still making plans for Valentine's Day, consider choosing one of the great Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. Those restaurants feature local food, great wines, microbrews, original dishes, vegetarian options, and much more. Plus, the money you spend stays local. Find a full list of all those restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
You are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about, wait, did I read that right? Repartee? Was that an autocorrect? I assume it's the Minnesota Progressive Report.
It is the repartee. Means quick, witty banter. That is your definition.
Okay, whatever. I guess it's the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Here are your hosts for Thursday, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson.
And throwing you for a loop on a Thursday, it is not Hunter Hawes, it is Brett Johnson and Eric Nelson. First time I think I've worked with you like in 6 months, maybe?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Heck of a lot warmer. We don't have an intro recorded yet for Brett and Eric, so we got to get
an anomaly.
We got to get a Mr. Announcer guy on that, who you might recognize. It's Greg Risch of Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's him.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. We're going to have some fun with those intros coming up, too, I think, because by now, hopefully, you know what the word repartee means. What we want to insert in the middle is kind of Greg's random thought of the day. He was salivating at that idea when I said he could throw a random thought of the day in the middle part there. So we'll have some fun with that. But for now, it is Eric and Brett on a Thursday. Hunter and I traded hosting duties between Tuesday and Thursday. I don't know if Hunter would have if he knew the reason why we had to trade hosting duties. I was actually in Palm Springs, California from last Friday until this Tuesday. So Hunter and I traded days. I'm guessing if he knew the reason why I needed Tuesday or Thursday instead of Tuesday, he may have declined my...
No
sympathy at all. The only sympathy I should get, though, is that what happened to Sun Country Airlines? Have you ever flown on them recently?
Not recently.
Yeah. They're only like a step up from Spirit Airlines in terms of amenities. Their prices are really nice, but man, my flight going there was 2.5 hours late. There was really no reason for it. There was no weather here, at least at this point in Minnesota. The snow had wrapped up by that point. And then coming home, my flight was another hour late. Again, for no reason. Now, of course, flights are sometimes late, but I could look at the flight history of all of these nonstop. Well, they're not nonstop, but basically twice a day, Sun Country will have a flight running from Palm Springs to Minnesota, then Minnesota to Palm Springs. And I could look at the history for the past 2 weeks, and every day it was at least an hour late. In fact, there was one point where they were 5 hours late, where the flight from Palm Springs to Minnesota didn't get in until like 4:23 in the morning.
Well, consistent.
Yeah, consistent. So I guess expect to be late. I thought I was bad. I didn't arrive until Wednesday morning at 1:30, and that was really fun trying to find an Uber at 1:30 in the morning. I eventually found someone, though, at the airport. So there you go. Our hometown airline, maybe not doing as well. I think they're owned by one of those private equity firms now. So maybe that's why they kind of just don't care about anything. Mm-hmm. But there you go. Sun Country Airlines. Good prices, but expect to be late. Don't expect any real good services. I'd say it's maybe one step up from Spirit Airlines. Have you ever flown Spirit before?
I have. I love how cheap it is. So I'm of the mind that. Yeah, just pack me in. If I can have a standing-only plane with, like, 100 people and $100 less, I'll do it.
Yeah, well, you can dress in layers as well if you want to keep that that personal bag. I ended up doing that. I wore two layers of pants, a short-sleeve shirt, a long-sleeve shirt, and a sweatshirt. Then I could fit everything in my personal bag and not pay for anything.
Just wear all fly fishing gear, just a million pockets.
Yeah. It works on the way when you're flying from Minnesota because you're cold, but then it's not so good once you get to your destination. But there you go, my experience flying Sun Country Airlines. I don't think it's been quite as bad as Matt's experiences with, I think it's Delta Airlines. It seems like every time we fly, or he flies, he always comes back complaining about Delta Airlines.
Some sort of disaster.
Yeah, some sort of disaster. So there you go. Well, let's go ahead and get to the news. Well, we were talking about the weather just a second ago, how I was in Palm Springs, and you may have seen this in the Star Tribune from a few days ago. There was a new climate change report that talked about what cities will be like, what their equivalent will be in 60 years. For instance, they said New York City in 60 years could feel more like Arkansas right now. That is nuts to think New York could feel like Arkansas, Chicago could seem like Kansas City, and San Francisco could be getting a Southern California climate if global warming pollution continues at the current pace, according to a study that was just released from the Nature Communications, I can't quite get the name, the journal Nature Communications, thought it was in there. But basically, they had an equivalent for Minnesota as well. They said in the year 2080, our weather would be what it's like in Kansas right now.
I have to wonder if New York will even be around if it's that much warmer.
Or California as well. Yeah. Isn't California supposed to get kind of washed under too if we continue with our current sea level rises?
At least part of it.
Yeah. Florida, I think, is for sure going to end up going at some point if the sea levels continue to rise because, well, basically West Antarctica is melting rapidly. Of course, we have Greenland that's melting. But, yeah, that's going to lead to a bigger rise in global temperatures, and that's exactly what we're going to see here in Minnesota in 2080, a winter like they have in Kansas. I guess that would mean maybe snow in just January, which, of course, some
dustings.
Yeah, which some people may like. Oh, yeah, we get warmer winters, but that, of course, affects agriculture and our food supply, so that's not such a good feature. But Minnesota going to be like Kansas, apparently, in 60 years. Then, of course, we have Donald Trump tweeting. Yeah, I don't know if you saw when Amy Klobuchar announced that she was running for president. He tweeted at her and said, well, look, it's snowing during your presidential announcement, and she's talking about global warming. I bet she wish she had some global warming now. It just drives me nuts whenever people do that. They don't know the difference between climate and weather. Mm-hmm. Do you think people are doing that intentionally? Like they?
I think in most cases, they do know the difference.
Yeah, they're just being trolls. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, I don't know if Donald Trump knows the difference.
Probably not, no. So I've never determined whether I should actually respond to that and go into explaining what the difference is between climate and weather, or, as you said, if they're just being trolls.
I just call them an idiot most of the time.
Yeah, they probably are just trolling. They
in
do
both
know
cases,
the difference.
It's true.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. Climate and weather always drives me nuts. I'm hoping you're right that it is just people trolling rather than people that don't actually know the difference, because if that's the case, that actually really terrifies me. Hey, want to get into some local news before, of course, we get into that big national story of Donald Trump declaring a national emergency for that wall. Why? But do want to preview some things we have coming up later in the program, including some local issues. And one of them is going to be our legislative update. Of course, you hear that every day on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We usually record those on Thursdays and then break up those interviews into five segments and play those back over the incoming days. And we, in the legislative update today, we're going to be speaking with DFL House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler about this conversion therapy bill trying to outlaw conversion therapy. It's been a proposal that's going through the House from Representative Hunter Cantrell, who, by the way, is a gay man himself. I believe he's the only gay House member. He's trying to outlaw conversion therapy. We'll be talking about what the latest developments are with that bill in the House, whether it's prospects for passing, and why are Republican legislators against this? I can't imagine why you would be against conversion therapy. Apparently, their best argument is that a mental health professional could be punished for even having a youth come to them with concerns about their sexuality. So we'll ask Ryan if that's actually a legitimate concern. Hint, it's not, but we'll get into more detail with that with our legislative update coming up around 4:30 here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And by the way, rest of the legislative updates Friday through Wednesday talking about some other subjects, including, I didn't know this was actually legal in Minnesota, but 16 and 17-year-olds can actually get married in this state, and there's a legislator that wants to change that because one of the problems you run into with allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to get married is that you can have what's called marital rape exceptions, in which you can prevent someone from being convicted of raping their spouses. Wow. Yeah, so that's making its way through the House right now. In fact, they actually proposed this last year, and somehow it didn't go anywhere. I can't imagine that anyone would be against that. But
you're going to sign off on rape exceptions?
Not necessarily that, but yeah, it's allowing underage marriage. It's apparently legal. Yeah, I see what you're saying, though. Yeah, yeah, it's essentially what they are doing, so yeah, we'll be talking with Ryan Winkler later days on the legislative update. We'll also be talking about MNLARS. Their report was released today on what's been plaguing that program. And then we'll also be talking about trying to get rural child care workers. The DFL House has some ideas on how to get more rural child care workers because that is they are facing a huge shortage in rural Minnesota. But let's get to the big national story of the day. Donald Trump is apparently going to declare a national emergency for his border wall. And by the way, if you have thoughts on this border wall, we are going to take calls right up until about 4:30 when we have another guest coming up, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Love to give your thoughts on this border wall and whether you think it's a good idea for him to declare this a national emergency. I actually think it is, because I think this is going to backfire against Trump and the Republicans in later years. But first, let's get to the meat of the story. The Senate today resoundingly approved a border security compromise that ignores basically all of Donald Trump's demands for building a wall with Mexico, but would prevent a new government shutdown, which would have taken place on Friday. The White House said Trump, as he suggested for weeks, would quickly declare a national emergency and perhaps invoke other executive powers to try to shift money to wall building from elsewhere in his federal budget. House passage and Trump's signature were assured, and now he's going to declare that national emergency. So the problem with declaring a national emergency is that for Trump and Republicans, and Matt touched on this during the last hour, is that, well, what's to prevent a Democratic president to come into office and declare a national emergency for, well, the example we gave last hour was climate change. But how about this as a national emergency as well? Couldn't we declare health insurance a national emergency and expand Medicare if we were to declare that an emergency and take away funds? That's usually supposed to go for actual natural disasters. But now that Republicans have opened that Pandora's box, there's all sorts of issues that a Democratic president could use as a national emergency. So I think this is something that could really backfire against Donald Trump and the Republicans. And even if he's declaring this a national emergency, not much of that wall is actually even going to get built. And even if they do build part of it, it's not going to take a whole lot for a Democratic president to come into office and tear down that wall. Although I think looking at reports, even with this funding, they're hardly going to even get any of it built in the next few years before he faces re-election in 2020. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Before we head to break, let's go to our buddy Patrick in Apple Valley. Hey, Patrick, one of our resident conservative callers. How you doing today, Patrick?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, man.
You know, yeah. I just wanted to weigh in on this whole wall issue. I remember seeing clips years ago of Obama and Schumer and some of these other Democrats that were not opposed to the wall and, in fact, spoke of border security, much like Donald Trump spoke. And then now he's president, and it's like, be damned if they're going to have anything to do to support him. In fact, they're just resisting him every step of the way. So I just see the hypocrisy where they were in favor of it, but not now. Not now.
I don't think they were in favor of it in the same way. And thanks very much for the call, Patrick. Always appreciate that. They weren't in favor of it in the same way that Donald Trump is. They were more in terms of that border security. It's kind of an apples and oranges comparison. So thanks very much for the call there, Patrick. We got to get him together with Randy in Coon Rapids at some point. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break and be back with more of the repartee up next.
This is Matt McNeil, and you're listening to Doug, Brian, and Harold. Love those guys. I love those guys. It's the Minnesota Progressive Rev Dab 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 right here on AM 950.
Hey, this is Hunter Hawes of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, and I'm inviting you to celebrate the Blue Wave at the Blue State Ball on Saturday, March 2nd at Blaisdell in Minneapolis. VIP reception starts at 5, where you can mingle with Tom Hartman, John Fugelsang, Matt McNeil, and all the other AM 950 personalities. Then general admission starts at 6:30. This year's ball is sponsored by Howling for Wolves and Northern Sun with food from It's Greek to Me. Don't forget, I'm the DJ of the ball this year, so come party with me at the Blue State Ball Saturday, March 2nd at Blaisdell. Tickets at AM950Radio.com.
Hi, this is Michelle Kitzmiller from the Awakened Living Infusion radio show, and I'd like to tell you about the healing powers of traditional Chinese medicine. The medicine includes acupuncture, herbal medicine, Tui Na, Qigong, and nutritional therapy. It's a highly individualized, safe, and effective system of integrative medicine. Traditional Chinese medicine at Awakened Living takes into consideration symptoms, lifestyle, emotions, environment, and individual experiences to determine the most effective treatment to obtain healing and make you feel better. Acupuncture is a safe and pain-free way to help your body heal. After your acupuncture session at Awaken Living, you'll walk away feeling healthy, relaxed, and balanced. Traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture works well on its own or with other treatments at Awaken Living. Schedule an appointment with me today at the Awaken Living Clinic in Bloomington. Call 952-452-8583 or visit awakenedlivinginfusion.com.
We are sleepwalking into a disaster. Climate change is burning down our forests, flooding our coastlines, and parking the polar vortex in our own backyard. What can we do? Please join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska for a one-hour talk from meteorologist Paul Douglas on Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Paul's new book is called Caring for Creation, The Evangelical's Guide to Climate Change and a Healthy Environment. This talk is part of the Tuesday Dialogue series hosted at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. It has the big red rocker out front at 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by the Southwest Metro and Chaska Citizens Climate Lobby, Interfaith Power and Light, and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at ChaskaChurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
Hi there, this is Alan Miller speaking, the local and studio curmudgeon. You're listening to, and wisely so, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
The resident curmudgeon. I love that from Alan Miller. Got to get him in as guest host more here on AM 950. Always like it when Alan fills in here on the radio. I don't know, Eric, is it like conservative caller day? We got another conservative caller on the air. Let's go ahead to our buddy Randy in Coon Rapids. Hey, Randy, what are your thoughts here on this wall?
Hey, guys, I hate to have to be the guy calling in with the voice of reason, but you guys really got to get a little bit more educated on some of this stuff before you speak. They are currently building wall and repairing wall right now as we speak. And with the money that he's going to get, should build some more wall, mm-hmm. and it should be a whole complete package where we're upping the security at the ports of entry. It just blows me away that Democrats have no problem with drugs, illegal trafficking of kids, and coming across our border, and illegal aliens coming across our border, criminals. How could you say, gee, I want to have more of that coming across the border? How could you be against that?
How do you know that they're, how do you know that they're all of those things crossing the border?
Oh, there's... Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's not some really good, hardworking people that are trying to cross the border. There are those, too.
Like pretty much all
but
of them?
Look at the... Do you have any idea how much heroin and how much cocaine is coming across the border? I mean, the primary job, the first and job that the president has is protecting the country. Over anything he does is protecting the country. And how could you say the fact that we're doing this, trying to protect our citizens... So we don't have criminals coming across the border. How could you be, well, we don't have a problem with that. How could you be against that?
So I got one more question for you here, Randy, because we are running into a heartbreak, and I want to make sure we get to some other callers. What do you make of Trump declaring this a national emergency? Do you have any concerns that a Democrat could turn this around, a Democratic president, and say, we're going to declare climate change a national emergency or health insurance a national emergency? Do you have any concerns that this could actually backfire against Republicans?
Yes, I have a lot of concerns. I really don't want them. Mm-hmm. On one hand, I'd like if we had to do a national emergency, I'm okay with that. But just like you said, scared to death that if he opens that door, well, now the door is open and Lord only knows what's going to happen down the road. I think it's a bad path to go. I don't know how else he's going to get it to be built, but I don't know if that's the best avenue to go. So I'm not for that.
All right. Hey, thanks very much for the call there, Randy. Always good to hear from you. Said it was terrifying.
Thanks,
yeah, thanks very much there, Randy. Love that you said terrifying to have a national emergency for climate change. Oh, yikes. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Getting a little peek there into the mind of Randy in Coon Rapids. So again, this wall is going to be built. Well, part of it's going to be built through this national emergency declaration of Donald Trump. But what's going to happen if we actually do have a natural disaster, if we have a hurricane coming up this fall, an earthquake, something like that? Well, that funding's not going to be there anymore because, well, we're building a wall. Exactly what's going to happen. All right, let's go to Brenda over in Carver. It looks like she wants to talk. Doesn't look like we have Brenda anymore. Got full phone lines coming up. Eric's doing his best there to manage those phone calls, but keep them coming. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Hey, want to remind you before we get to more callers in a second there, don't you love it whenever we get Randy or Patrick calling and get those full phone lines? Coming up here at the bottom of the hour, right after our legislative update, we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about Medicare, because, and also reducing the price of prescription drugs, because over the past few months, Donald Trump has actually come through with different proposals to lower prescription drug prices. Are these actually going to be effective? And is he proposing any cuts to Medicare? We're actually going to be speaking with a guest who is from the Dan Ancock. He is the Director of Government Relations and Policy for the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. We're going to be chatting with him coming up right after our legislative update, probably around 4:35, about some of these proposals Donald Trump and also Republicans have made on lowering prescription drug prices. In fact, the organization that actually supports preserving Social Security and Medicare, which generally is more left-leaning, actually supports some of these ideas that Trump and Republicans have proposed. Hey, now I think we got, we got a caller from Eden Prairie who wants to talk about that border wall. Let's go ahead to them. I got name question mark, but we'll roll with that. Hey, random person for Eden Prairie, you want to talk about the border wall?
Yeah, this is Case from Eden Prairie.
Hey, how you doing?
I think we have to probably think about kind of a bigger picture. Like that funding, have a national emergency for funding for a border wall. It's a recipe for 2008 to happen all over again. If there's like a flood, mm-hmm. an earthquake, a typhoon, these national emergencies with the snowstorm and cold weather, and if I didn't know any better, I would think that this is exactly what people who are watching the stock market would love to see happen. There was a small group of people who made out like bandits after 2008.
Yeah.
So this is like, it's almost as if, I don't think Donald Trump is stupid. I mean, I think that you have to follow the money. And I think someone is telling him this is the next calculated step in A, trying to get what you want, but B, trying to back in the economy into, basically lining pockets that may not be all American.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, I do kind of agree that we do need border security, but we get drugs and trafficking of children in many other facets aside from the southern border. So there's so many other ways. It's like the pressure that we get from that. It just will just go to another part of the United States. They can enter through 25 other ports.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're putting attention on the wrong thing.
Hey, thanks very much for the call. Let's go. We got time for one more before I think we reach our hard break there at the bottom of the hour. Let's go to our next caller. Is that
it's Brenda.
Oh, hey there, Brenda. Yep. Hey, Brenda, how you doing?
I just really wanted to say that Randy is totally wrong about what he's saying, where the drugs are coming across. They're coming across at the legal borders for the most part.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the border wall is not going to stop the drugs. They need more agents at the border, at the legal crossings, and other stuff like that. I think maybe aerial surveillance via drone or whatever. There's going to be way more efficiency.
Hey, Brenda, unfortunately, got to cut you off there just because we do have a hard break here at the bottom of the hour as we have our interview coming up talking about Social Security and Medicare, and we're going to get to that right after this legislative update here on AM 950. This is your daily legislative update on AM 950 with DFL House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler. Each day we'll check in with Ryan Winkler for a brief update and ask him about some of the big issues taking place at the state legislature. So one of the issues making its way through the House right now is a bill on outlawing gay conversion therapy. Now, I was actually surprised that conversion therapy is even still legal here in the state of Minnesota. The House Health and Human Services Committee passed a bill that banned conversion therapy for minors in the state of Minnesota on a 10-6 vote, and now it's on its way to the Commerce Committee. Can you tell us what exactly the House is doing, what this bill looks like, and what would be outlawed?
Sure. I mean, the basic point is that therapists should not be charging and for a therapy that does not work and that can be extremely harmful to the people who are subject to it. So specifically, the bill would prohibit giving conversion therapy to minors, which would be essentially done at the request of their parents, and it prohibits mental health professionals from charging for the service of conversion therapy. And the whole point here is that we should not be allowing a practice that can have significantly dangerous consequences for kids whose mental health might be fragile already, or who are dealing with some of the most difficult and demanding things that they might face in their life, which is their identity. And so this bill would make sure that kids are protected in Minnesota from this practice, which is really born out of a desire to not accept gays and lesbians and bisexual individuals as being the way they are, the way God made them, rather than being acting in some behavior or some choice or some psychosis. It's really rooted in some very ugly notions from the past.
Now, Republican legislatures have expressed concern that a mental health professional could be punished for even having a youth come to them with concerns about their sexuality. Is there any concern that this could actually happen under this bill?
No. I mean, there are requirements all the time about what is within the scope of practice of a mental health professional. And so I don't think Republicans are actually concerned about legitimate mental health therapists getting caught up in a mistake. I think that they are very much part of a right-wing organization or organized effort to continue the social war against people based on their sexual identity.
Are you confident this bill could stand up to court challenges? Because I believe we've seen similar types of proposals around the country that have been challenged in different courts.
Well, we certainly are going to do our very best to make sure that it is something that stands up in court. And sometimes what happens is that an issue that seems, one way to one judge looks differently to another judge, especially as more states start to move forward in this direction. So the idea is to start to change the expectation, the culture, the practice, and it's valuable to do that regardless of what a court would do with it. But we certainly are making every effort to make this bill successful.
That was your legislative update on AM 950 with DFL House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler. Each day we'll check in with Ryan Winkler for a brief update and ask him about some of the big issues taking place at the state legislature.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
The infrared sauna at Awaken Living not only helps you get out of the cold, but also improves your health. This is not your typical sauna experience. The far infrared heats your body internally, causing you to sweat profusely over your entire body, yet has no odor. Because the far infrared sauna at Awaken Living doesn't use moisture, you will experience no trouble breathing, which can be typical in traditional saunas. The far infrared sauna at Awaken Living improves circulation, which translates into improved oxygen flow, muscle relaxation to reduce pain, increased healing time, faster muscle recovery time, and decreased inflammation. According to the Mayo Clinic, several studies looked at using far infrared saunas in the treatment of problems such as high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, and rheumatoid arthritis. They found promising results and no adverse side effects. So come to Awaken Living and try their far infrared sauna. It will improve your vitality and help relax your muscles, body, and mind. Schedule an appointment today by calling 952-452-8583 or visiting awakenlivinginfusion.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around negative 5. Friday, sunny with a high near 12, the low around negative 2. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 19 and a low around 12 with a 40% chance of snow. Come join Tom Hartman and a handful of other AM 950 listeners to discuss all the big political issues over a delicious brunch at the beautiful Downtowner Grill in St. Paul the morning after the Blue State Ball. Space is extremely limited, so get your tickets now at am950radio.com.
Hello, humans. This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio, and you are listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
And indeed, you are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Brett Johnson in on your Thursday afternoon here on AM 950. Well, one of the issues President Trump has been hitting up for the past few months has been trying to reduce the costs of prescription drugs, something that you normally don't hear from Republicans. Normally, it's something you hear more from Democrats, but it is something Trump has been making an issue of for the past few weeks. So joining us to talk about President Trump's proposals, as well as the 2020 race in terms of Medicare for All, is Dan Hancock. He's the Director of Government Relations and Policy for the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Dan, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Brett.
Yeah, good to hear from you, because this is certainly a very important issue in terms of reducing the cost of prescription drugs, as well as also preserving Social Security and Medicare, as your group does, especially since we now have a Republican president and they aren't always necessarily friendly towards those topics. But before we get into specific proposals President Trump has made to lower the costs of prescription drugs, in the State of the Union address from a few weeks ago, President Trump campaigned on not touching Social Security and Medicare, even though he didn't really mention this in the State of the Union. Do you have any concerns he might try to cut them either directly or indirectly? And are you confident House Democrats could block any such measures?
Well, the answer to your first question, he already has made proposals to cut all three programs. the legislation to repeal the ACA would have cut the Medicaid program by $1 trillion and could have endangered long-term care that it provides to seniors and other people with severe disabilities. The Affordable Care Act repeal would also accelerated the insolvency of the Medicare Part A trust fund by getting rid of a tax on high-income earners to help finance the program. He's also proposed that Social Security disability insurance benefits be cut by $64 billion over a 10-year period. So he's already broken all those promises.
And then
to answer your second part of your question, as to whether or not the Democrats can block these proposals, yes, they can. In fact, I think that it's unlikely that you're going to see any proposal to cut Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid in the 116th Congress until the end of 2020. And that basically is because House Democrats would have a veto over any type of legislation like that would cut people's earned benefits, and so I think they fully intend to use that essentially a veto authority. So that is one one of the great things about the new Democratic majority in the House.
So while you're certainly against these cuts that President Trump has been proposing to Medicare, your group actually does, switching gears now, support some of the proposals he's made in terms of trying to reduce the costs of prescription drugs. And one of those is the insurance gag rule that basically bars pharmacists from telling consumers when it would cost less to pay cash for a prescription than to shell out the copayment under their current health plan. What is the president proposing, and what would this do in terms of that gag rule?
Well, that gag rule is already, I believe it's already passed, and it's already law. And as a result, it means that if it's cheaper to buy a prescription drug out of pocket than it is the co-insurance or co-payment you would have to pay for that prescription drug, pharmacists are no longer bound by any gag rule that would not allow them to provide that information. He also is proposing that, at least in the Medicare program, when pharmaceutical companies, they will sometimes provide a rebate to what are called pharmaceutical benefit managers, and pharmaceutical benefit managers negotiate prescription drug prices on behalf of private insurance plans. But the problem is that process isn't very transparent, and as a result, sometimes these pharmaceutical benefit managers who are doing the negotiation pocket the money and don't pass the savings on to consumers. And so he's the president has suggested that money be passed on to consumers.
Well, another thing looking up that I know President Trump has proposed, and I'm not sure, as he said before, if this one is law quite yet, is having Medicare base what it pays for some expensive drugs on the average prices in other industrialized countries like France, Germany, where prices are much lower. Has this proposal moved anywhere? Has it been passed? Where are we looking on that?
No. I would say at this point, especially in the House, we're still in the hearing process. There was a hearing held earlier this week by the House Ways and Means Committee led by Congressman Richie Neal from Massachusetts. And so that was one of the proposals that was discussed. Another one that we are most supportive of is a bill introduced by Congressman Lloyd Doggett from Texas and his legislation, which is the Medicare Negotiation and Competitive Licensing Act. And if your listeners want to look it up, it's H.R. 1046. That's H.R. 1046. What the bill does is it has some real teeth to it in terms of its negotiation authority. It would allow the Secretary of Health and Human Services to negotiate directly for prescription drugs in the Medicare program. And if those pharmaceutical manufacturers fail to negotiate in good faith, then the Secretary of Health and Human Services could issue a competitive license to another manufacturer to produce a generic form of that drug. So the beauty of this proposal is that a lot of the prescription drug proposals out there that would authorize Medicare to negotiate prices, they're based on using a formulary that if you limit the choice of drugs, you can get sometimes a better deal with pharmaceutical manufacturers. You don't have to do that in Congressman Doggett's bill because of the fact that having the threat of licensing the drug as a generic to another company would provide the Secretary of Health and Human Services tremendous leverage when negotiating with pharmaceutical manufacturers. So that's why we think that's the best way to lower prescription drugs prices. And that's really, this is what we really need. Some of the proposals that the president has suggested, they're good, but they're not great. And this takes care of the underlying problem of price gouging and the problem with prices being too high as far as buying your prescription drugs.
Well, it certainly sounds like a great bill, but of course the problem is that it's making its way through the Democratic House where it probably will have some support, but then, unfortunately, it does have to move on to the Senate, which is controlled by Republicans who generally are a little more hesitant towards some of these types of price controls. And then, of course, has to be signed as President Trump as well. Are you confident this bill could make it all the way to the president's desk?
It'd be tough. And I think what it would take to make it to the president's desk is the president has to endorse a bill like this. I mean, he said during the campaign that he supported prescription providing Medicare authority to negotiate with pharmaceutical companies. But so far, he has not on that promise. But if he were to embrace this as part of his 2020 election strategy, then you might be able to soften up opposition amongst Republicans to move it forward. But you're right. Otherwise, without that, I don't think it would pass the Senate because the Republican senators as well as Republican members of the House tend to oppose giving Medicare the authority to negotiate with pharmaceutical manufacturers.
Well, before we move on to talking about the 2020 election and how it relates to Medicare, are there any other proposals making its way through the House or the Senate or even proposals by the president in terms of reforming drug prices?
Well, there are a number of other bills that we support. There's one that has been introduced by Senator Sanders. It's also a Medicare, allowing Medicare to negotiate directly with drug manufacturers. It does use a formulary so that the choice of drugs that would be limited, but we still think it's a good piece of legislation because it does move the needle in terms of getting at the root cause, which is price of drugs. We're also supportive of legislation that would allow for reimportation from Canada prescription drugs. This is actually something that Senator Grassley from Iowa has given at least lip service to. He's and why his opinion on this issue is very important, is he's chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, which has jurisdiction over Medicare and Medicaid in the Senate and over this type of legislation. So reimportation might be a possibility. And there's other pieces of legislation out there, too, like Representative Jan Schakowsky from Illinois has a bill that would reduce the period of time in which biologic drugs have a patent so that they could be made generic after 7 years rather than 12.
We're speaking with Dan Hancock. He's the Director of Government Relations and Policy for the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. So over the past few weeks, Dan, we've seen a number of Democrats that have announced their runs for president in 2020, and while most have expressed support for Medicare for All, it's kind of been towards varying degrees, from people like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren expressing all-out support to Kamala Harris being a little more wishy-washy on the issue. Amy Klobuchar even said it was something we should aspire to. What do you make of these varying degrees in support, and is it just a step in the right direction that we're even having this conversation as opposed to previous elections where Medicare for All really wasn't even in the discussion at all?
Well, I think it is a positive development. I mean, we really need to think about the best way to provide universal coverage to all Americans. I guess the question that, you know, a lot of people in the Democratic Party right now are wrestling with, and that's reflected amongst the presidential candidates so far, is what's the best way to do this? I mean, is it better to try to, if Democrats regain the Senate and maybe the White House, is it better to try to fix the existing program we have in terms of insurance available through the Affordable Care Act, or is it something more like a single-payer system like Medicare? And what would that look like? You know, from the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare's perspective, my organization is that we want to make sure that the existing Medicare program that gaps currently in the coverage in the existing program are filled. We'd like to first see that Medicare offers dental, vision, and hearing coverage. Congressman Lucille Roybal Allard has a bill that would do exactly that, and also Debbie Dingell has a bill that would provide hearing coverage to Medicare. So our preference would be first, let's make Medicare as comprehensive as a lot of private health insurance that people may have received through their employer, and then let's think about how that new and improved program exported to the rest of the population.
Stepping stones is sometimes something we hear when we talk about Medicare for All, where sometimes we need a stepping stone towards that proposal. And I'm sure your organization is kind of on board with that, too, where we need to protect and also enhance the existing Medicare system we have right now before we move on to something like Medicare for All. What do you think would be another good stepping stone from, let's say, Obamacare to Medicare for All? What's a good major step we could take in between those?
Well, one of the things, like I said before, is that I think that a major stepping stone is fixing the problems and that were with the Affordable Care Act, not the least of which is in the tax bill that was passed by the House and Senate in December of 2017. They eliminated the individual mandate, and that's going to really make it a lot harder to ensure that you have a very broad and diverse risk pool where you have a very good cross-section of people who are healthy, not so healthy, and a lot of people in between. I mean, that's the only way that you can make insurance affordable and the cost predictable for everybody in the program. So that's something that really needs to happen, as well as fixing some of the ways some of the damage done by the sabotage of the Trump administration to the Affordable Care Act. So I think that's something that should be job one, basically, is to try to be able to do that. Beyond that, I think that one of the things that Democrats really need to be careful about is they need to have a piece of legislation that really would answer every outstanding question about what Medicare for All would look like. You know, I wouldn't want the Democrats to be in the same position that Republicans have been in terms of wanting to repeal the ACA, but then having nothing to replace it. I'm not saying that Democrats have the Medicare for All proposals aren't totally thought out, but I don't know that they're ready yet for prime time. That they're not ready yet to that if Democrats did control the entire government and have the majorities in the House and Senate to pass such a bill. I just don't think the legislation at this point is ready for enactment. And really, that's what we need, is we need a comprehensively written bill that would address all the outstanding issues of the program, so that when Democrats do regain power, they're in a position that they can move a fully baked proposal on Medicare for All.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting between now and the 2020 election, with not only what these different Democratic candidates are proposing, but also with President Trump facing re-election as well in terms of trying to preserve Medicare and also lower prescription drug prices. We'll have to keep checking in with the folks over at the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. That's Dan Hancock. He's the Director of Government Relations and Policy for that group. And Dan, where can people find more information about the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare?
Well, they can check our website at ncpssm.org, or they can give us a call on our toll-free number at 800-966-1935.
Thanks, Dan. And coming up next on AM 950, we're going to talk a little bit about programming and what's happening from 5 until 8 once the Norman Goldman show goes away. We'll have more on that on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee up next.
Hey, this is Rick Shiomi from Full Circle Theater Company, and I hope you can join us for Repartee. That's the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333. Woo, woo, woo.
It's the sale you love at the Electric Fetus. Now through Sunday, February 17th, take 20% off your purchase store-wide. New and used vinyl, CDs, DVDs, clothing, jewelry, unique gifts, and more. Save 20% off during the Electric Fetus Valentine's Day sale. Some restrictions apply. 20% off is good in the store at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis, as well as Duluth. Save on great music and more during the Valentine's Day at Electric Fetus.
In our busy, fast-paced world, sometimes we need the time and space to figure out the deeper questions in our life. In a safe, non-judgmental atmosphere, life coaching with Connie at Awaken Living will help you gain clarity in your life in an atmosphere of guidance, support, and affirmation. You will explore who you are and who you want to become to be the best version of yourself. Connie at Awaken Living will guide you to find the wisdom within you and follow that wisdom in all areas of your life. When you fully understand who you are and what you believe, life can take you in directions you never imagined. You will be gently challenged to grow and learn that change can be good, especially when done from inside. Every choice that we make is a decision about the next step in our lives. And it only takes one step to start a new and incredible journey. Schedule an appointment today by calling 952-452-8583. That number again is 952-452-8583. Or visit awakenlivinginfusion.com.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermos.com.
Have questions about your romantic life? Are you looking at Valentine's Day and feeling fear? Would you like to talk to someone to help figure it all out? I'm Christine Schroeder. I'm an intuitive advisor and medium. I offer helpful insights, useful answers, and practical advice to help you navigate your romantic life. To learn more and book an appointment, go to christineintuitivemedium.wordpress.com. Check out my Valentine's Day special through February 23rd. Let's talk about you.
Hi, this is Chad Larson, owner of AM 950. You are listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
And you indeed are listening to the Repartee today as Brett and Eric are in. One of the rare times I get to work with Eric. Normally Hunter is in on Thursdays, but he and I traded days as I was on vacation on Tuesday in Palm Springs, so I got to avoid a lot of that snow. But glad to have you with us here on your Thursday afternoon. So a programming note. You may have heard over the past few weeks, Norman Goldman announced that he is ending his show. So we've been getting all sorts of questions saying, are you canceling Norman? What's happening? Well, to answer that first question, no, we are not canceling Norman. Just unfortunately, it was his decision as, well, just the nature of being and trying to run a liberal, syndicated, national talk show is very tough economically, and Norman made the decision that unfortunately his show just wasn't quite bringing in the revenue needed to continue running that program. So he will be ending that coming up in the next week or two. Basically, what's going to happen is that Norman is going to have live shows running through Friday, February 22nd. Now, what happens after Friday, February 22nd, you may be wondering. Well, it's still a little bit up in the air. We are working on possibly having another new program. I really can't go into much more detail beyond that. We're just working through some different tech specifications, but should know more in the coming days or weeks. But again, the last live show for Norman Goldman is Friday, February 22nd. And then beyond that, we are, again, working on some replacements. And we hopefully should know more very, very soon. But very sad to see Norman go. Before I even worked here at AM 950, he was one of my favorite programs to listen to. So we are definitely going to miss him. But follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or the website, or just listen to programming here on AM 950, as we should have some announcements coming through soon on some new programs we might be having here on the station. Moving on to some other announcements, as you may have heard, with the Blue State Ball coming up on Saturday, March 2nd at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. By the way, make sure you get your tickets. We have two confirmed headliners. It's Tom Hartman and John Fugelsang, who you can often hear on the Stephanie Miller Show and also her Sexy Liberal Tour. They'll both be headlining the event. I'll be at the Blue State Ball along with Doug, Hunter, and Eric of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Matt McNeil will be there, Ellie Krug, as well as the whole crew from the Native Roots Radio Show. And we're still working on getting political guests. Basically, the nature of politicians and their very busy schedule is that we generally don't get any confirmations until just a few days before the Blue State Ball takes place itself. So even though we don't have anyone confirmed right now, anticipate that we are going to have a whole bunch of politicians at the Blue State Ball. Again, we just won't know until we get closer, maybe that last week of February is when we should start hearing some confirmations. Also, don't forget, we have Brunch with Tom Hartman available the day after the Blue State Ball on Sunday, March 3rd at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. It's your chance to have brunch with Tom Hartman in a very small group setting. It's not going to be some huge group of 100 or 200 people. Very small group, so you can ask individual questions, and we'll discuss the current issues of the day with Tom Hartman. Those tickets are $150 per person, and you can only order those by calling us here at the station at 952-946-8885. Online ticket ordering is not available. You got to call us here at the station, 952-946-8885. Brunch with Tom Hartman, that comes up on Sunday, March 3rd, 10:30, the Downtowner Woodfire Grill. Order your tickets for $150 at 952-946-8885. Those are very limited tickets. They're going to go fast. So call now and make sure you get those tickets reserved for Brunch with Tom Hartman. That's it for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee today. Doug Padgett is in hosting the show tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.